Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for a big midweek in the Scottish Premiership. Philippe Clement says Rangers' injury problem is the biggest puzzle he's ever seen, with Nico Raskin the latest player to miss out. Paulo Bernardo is hoping to emulate Jota's success at Celtic, having moved from Benfica. Is he the one to come in and replace Reo Hatate? And of course, it's a busy night tomorrow, but it begins tonight in the top flight with Hibs taking on Ross County. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me is Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL. He's going to have to come back. This doesn't really work on radio now that you two are on the live stream with your Halloween masks on. So somebody's going to have to take that off and come actually in and speak to this microphone, Simon Donnelly.
It's very warm under this.
Lots to look forward. You can. Lots to look forward to in the Premiership and beyond at the moment.
Yes, another game tonight at Easter Road. Hibs obviously got a decent point against Celtic at the weekend, a big improvement from the week before. And they'll be looking to take that into the game tonight. Ross County at the weekend will probably be ruined, giving away the 2 points at the end, you know, with Motherwell coming back from 3-1. So another big game.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
You're going to have to take that mic off, that mask off.
It's an improvement.
That's the best I've looked. Hold on.
What's what I'm under? Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight, tomorrow night. Good fixture list, a lot of important games after the weekend there. Good weekend for Rangers, obviously closing that gap to Celtic. They had to work very hard for it, you've got to say. And other teams below, really looking for results, Gordon. And St Johnstone, looking for more than results, looking for a new manager.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, so give us a call right now, please. The more you phone, the less time I need to sit and look at these two wearing their Halloween masks. So if you could get in touch right now, please, that would be lovely. You can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. It is a busy midweek, so let's get stuck into building up to those games. Rangers fans, Philippe Clement speaking today, again bemoaning the injury situation at the club. Says it's one of the biggest puzzles he's ever faced as a manager. Again, he seems to be suggesting that the players are not fit enough or not in good enough shape. What do you make of all that? What's your reading of that situation? Nicholas Raskin's the latest player to be facing some time out of the first team as well. So pick up the phone and let us know all your thoughts on that. Celtic fans, we're going to hear from Paulo Bernardo. And I wonder then, linking into the news we brought you last night about Reo Hatate's injury, who do you want to replace Reo Hatate for the next couple of months? Who's the main one that's going to come in and take his place? Is it Paulo Bernardo? Is it David Turnbull? Do you want to see Holm brought back in? He had been involved and then kind of dropped out. Is he the one? Is it Iwata? Is it someone else? Who is going to solve your Reo Hatate problem? 0141 951 1025. I've actually got some breaking news for you tonight as well. Livingston have just put out a statement saying they've rejected St Johnstone's approach to speak to David Martindale. That's quite an interesting one. Both teams in that division, in the same division, of course. So a bit of a tug of war for David Martindale's services. But it looks like unless something changes, he'll be staying where he is. So you could get your thoughts in on that as well. 0141 951 1025. Games tonight, games tomorrow night. What is not to like? Pick up the phone, please. It's an interesting one. Just as we came on here, I saw a statement, David Martindale, and I couldn't get it to load, and it was stressing me out. Has he left? Has he resigned? It's a bit in the middle. He's wanted by St Johnstone, but no, say Livingston.
Yeah, I'd noticed it earlier on somewhere on social media. He's obviously did a fantastic job at Livingston over the years, keeping them in that division time and time again, against everybody else's, you know, thoughts, thinking Livy would be the one to go. They always seem to survive. another good club, St John's. I was there a year. I feel for Steve McLean, you know, really difficult job there to go in, just could not get the results. And this current climate and today's game, you know, that ultimately results in you losing your job.
Yeah, I'm not surprised they've looked at David. He's done such a great job at Livingston. You just wonder, would that be the right move for him? He's very well thought of at Livingston. I think St Johnston, it's a very, very good club. Of course it is. You know, the achievements under Callum Davidson, winning the cup double. But just now, it's a very difficult job. And I think David would look at that situation. Is it a new challenge? That could come under the opinion of it. But I just think that David Martindale is more suited to Livingston than what he'd be at St Johnston.
You know, it's funny though, because we always are led to believe that David Martindale, you know, he's got full control of everything at Livingston. So did David Martindale reject David Martindale's permission to speak to?
Yeah, he got the letter in
to
and
speak
had
to St Johnston.
He looked in the mirror and he thought, "What did you think?" "Oh, I'm not too sure." And then I
then
think
he doesn't have a decision to make. Just say the club have knocked it back.
I think that's where the difficulty will lie with David. David has a massive see. We all know that in Livingston. He's been there such a long time. He's built the club. Let's be honest about it. He's worked very, very hard to get the club to where they are. David Martindale, to me, Gordon, is suited to Livingston. I know that there's time that you can go in football management, have a change, different scenery, different players, different objectives. But I don't see David Martindale leaving Livingston to go to St Johnston.
What do you make of that? Whether you're a Livingston fan, a St Johnston fan, or just someone that's interested, it'd be nice to get your thoughts on that. Something a bit different for us on a Tuesday night. St Johnston approaching Livy for David Martindale. Livy say no. So 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We'll hear from Philippe Clement. He says Rangers injury situation's the biggest puzzle he's ever seen. What do you make of it, Rangers fans? What is going on there? How much does it concern you? Do you think it could make things even more difficult than they already are this season? Celtic fans, we'll hear from Paolo Bernardo. Is he the one that's going to come in and replace Reo Hatate for you, or is it someone else? Pick one that you think can be the main man between now and the end of the year before Reo Hatate returns. We've got that game tonight. You've got Livingston, St Johnston, tug of war, David Martindale. Every team's playing over tonight and tomorrow night. So again, you St Mirren fans, it might be nice to hear from you since you're flying. Kilmarnock fans, good result at the weekend. Is the pressure on Aberdeen and Hearts as an example this midweek?
Yeah, I think if you look at both clubs, Aberdeen not doing particularly well. Hearts, the good performance, they can take a lot out of the weekend's game at Ibrox against Rangers on Sunday. But once again, it finishes in a defeat. They're at home tomorrow night to David Martindale's Livingston. I think if Stephen Naismith doesn't pick up 3 points in that, I think he comes under severe pressure from the Hearts fans.
Yeah, I think both. I watched the Aberdeen game the European game the other night, and, you know, really unlucky. Get themselves in front 2-0. And I even thought maybe taking a wee bit of heart from that performance into the game at the weekend, but again, how many times have teams been down at Rugby Park on that pitch, well-documented plastic pitch, and struggle? By all accounts, not a great game, but certainly not a great result. And they're sitting down there, I think, on 9 points. So it's crucial times for Hearts and Aberdeen just now. They really need to start picking points up.
Yeah, like we said, massive midweek. If you want to get your calls in on any of the games, you can 01419511025, Twitter at Clyde SSB. You'll have heard in the news, of course, just before we came on, Celtic suspending Green Brigade tickets as well. It's been all over the news and the website in the last couple of hours. There's a lot going on out there in Scottish football, so why not pick up that phone, 01419511025. You two are in that limbo because, yes, we'll look ahead to tomorrow, but I suppose everything is through the lens of what happened at the weekend as well, and just how different it could have been if that wasn't the late show for Rangers. Of course, we know Celtic dropped points, so it was quite a weekend, wasn't it?
It was. It was a weekend that you look at, for instance, Celtic's performance. I think a lot of people went in with the understanding of, you know, after the game at home in the Champions League, they were a bit leggy. They didn't perform. They weren't as sharp as what you'd normally expect from a Celtic side. Well documented with the substitutions, the final three that was on the pitch, and we had it on the phones after the game, Gordon, talking about the recruitment, the you know, the backup to Kyogo, for instance. That was a big talking point as well. And it was over to Rangers on the Sunday with a great opportunity to close that gap. And at one point you were thinking, well, Rangers got to shoot themselves in the foot. But the game, I keep saying it, it doesn't matter if it's the last minute, first minute, the game is now 90 plus with VR and everything that's added on. And you've got to hand it to Rangers. They went all the way. They got the penalty kick and then they got the Danilo winner, which would do him no world of harm at all, because the lad was, I thought, was starting to look a bit sharp, get a good goal against St Johnstone, get injured, unfortunately. But he's now back again. First game in, he's banged a goal. So it was a very valuable 3 points for Rangers. And I hear the manager talking about fitness and stuff like that. I don't think that there was a problem Sunday, because it was 90-odd minutes they had to go and get the win. So it shows you that they were still on the front foot, they were still attacking, they were still creating chances, and they eventually got the final 3 points they needed.
Right, come on, 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to John, who's on the line. How's it going, John?
All right, guys. Gordon, Simon and Gordon.
How are you, hey, John?
Good, I'm good. I'm just, Simon, this is more to you as well. What do you think about the decision by the Celtic board there to suspend the Green Brigade? I think it's shocking.
Mm. Yeah, well,
let me bring you up to speed on the news for anybody who's not heard it, not entirely. Well, John has pretty much covered it, to be fair, but for anyone who's just joined us or hasn't heard the news, so Celtic have banned Green Brigade supporters groups from matches. The club citing serious issues with behaviour of fans at recent games. So everybody knows it's that, the kind of real seating section in the corner. It's going to start with tomorrow's Premiership game against St Mirren. There's clearly been different elements of tension, you know, frequently in recent years. It flared up again recently with a request from Celtic for fans to, you know, not fly banners or flags relating to the conflict in the Middle East, which supporters did. I think it goes without saying, I'm not sure Clyde One Super Scoreboard is the platform to get into something as serious as the actual nitty gritty of the conflict in the Middle East. I'm not sure Gordon DL has studied it up for us tonight, but there's a lot going on there, talking about safety concerns as well, talking about issues at, was it Firth Park, unsafe behaviour, whatever that may be. I think it was to do with allegations of rushing turnstiles, forcing open fire exits to let fans into the stadium, talking about intimidating and threatening behaviour towards sort of staff and stewards, that sort of thing. So there's a whole lot going in there, John. What's your own take on it before we get the guys?
Well, as I say, Celtic were formed, as we know, as a charitable organisation. And what I think is, obviously, we do with the Palestine flags, right? But, and feel sorry for the people of Palestine, the people of Israel, so we do. But when the difference with me is, what's the difference when Ukraine? Everybody felt sorry for the people of Ukraine, and nobody had an issue when people flew the Ukrainian flags. So I don't really get it, you know what I mean? I don't really get understanding. And as I said, I think it's people, we have a democracy, right? Maybe sometimes they do overstep the mark, the Green Brigade, but I think, personally, I think the only Celtic fans that's out the other what they've done to the Green Brigade. You should maybe sit down more and try and talk to them about things.
That would be the difficult.
I think that would be an ideal, dare I say it, adult approach for them to talk it over. I think regarding the flag issue, I can't really comment on that. I wasn't at the game the other week, but it wasn't just the Green Brigade, you know, with the Palestinian flag.
Sure.
That was evident from footage throughout the stadium during the game, videos and stuff. What I will say is the Green Brigade bring that atmosphere to Celtic Park. It's evident when they've had problems in the past, when they've decided to actively not go into the game, it's evident that they're not there. You know, that lack of noise, the lack of atmosphere. So, I mean, to answer your question, John, I hope they can both sit down and resolve the situation very quickly and get the guys back in at the games, because there is no doubt they bring an atmosphere and, you know, the rest of the crowd feed off that.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, the club are citing safety concerns and issues at Firth Park, I think at Easter Road at the weekend, I think maybe some of the home games. Clearly there's a level of, what would be the word, cynicism there from from Celtic fans and observers saying, ah, well, listen, we know it's about the flags and the banners. And that's where it becomes a little bit difficult for us on the outside, because you can certainly have those beliefs and you might not be a million miles off it. I don't really know exactly what went on at Fir Park. I don't really know exactly what went on at Easter Road. And as Simon and John have alluded to, don't really know what level of conversation has gone on between the parties up until this point.
Well, what I can imagine, Gordon, is it's a decision that's not been taken lightly by the Celtic board. I think that the matter, and we'll have both sides of this argument, of course we will, because Simon talks here about what the Green Brigade bring to the atmosphere of the stadium, what they bring to probably the players as well, that 12th man that we can talk about. But the Celtic board have got a duty to look after their club and the reputation of their club, and if they feel that there's something wrong, then they've got to sit down and they've got to make big, hard decisions. I'm sure that's a very, very difficult, because they'll know exactly how important this support is to them. Mm. They've not taken this lightly. But like Simon, I hope in the coming weeks or the coming days, whatever it may be, that, you know, people can sit around the table and say, look, we've got to look after the reputation of Celtic for both. It's full circle. It's both. It's the support and the club joining hand in hand to make sure that reputation's still intact. Mm. And I think the Celtic board and hopefully the supporters can get around the table and do that.
So, John, when we're talking about citing reasons about, you know, unacceptable behaviour or safety concerns, or you're not buying that stuff?
No, not really. No, I don't want to get into the politics aside about the Celtic board, but there's certain people in the Celtic board now, to me, don't stand for what Celtic stand for when they were formed. So as I say, I don't want to get going on. This is not a political show, mate. But I just think it's out of order. So I do. As Simon says, they bring some atmosphere to the games. Unfortunately, I don't get to a lot of the games now. But when I do go, it's when I take my daughter and my sons. They love that. That's what they more like to see. You know what I mean? Here in the Green Brigade. But as I say, I just hope they can sit down and sort something out. You know what I mean? But can I make another point, Gordon?
Why not?
I was just about. So I got on last night. You know, my regular car and that. But, well, on about Kyogo, sort of, seems to have all the load up front. What do you think, Simon and Gordon, as a striker yourself, about? Do you think Shannon would be a good fit for Celtic and for a January transfer window to take a bit of the load off Kyogo?
I love it. It's October, but let's get the January transfer window rumour mill spinning.
I'm a fan. I've got to say, I'm a fan. I think the boy has improved year after year. I remember him when he was banging the goals in at Ayr United. And he's built himself up. He worked very hard in his game, and everything he's got now he deserves, because I think it's been down to a lot of hard work. He's also got the responsibility at Hearts of being the captain as well, which you don't usually see in a centre forward. And Shanklin's obviously commands that much respect around Tynecastle in the dressing room with other fellow players as well. He's got an eye for goal. I think he's got everything in his locker. But I still go back to, you know, I look at Celtic squad and I know that you can argue about the substitutions and Brendan Rodgers not really introduced too much. I think you've still got to give the lad a chance. I really do. And I think we just jump in too quickly. This is a young lad. I think he's 21. He's not played a lot of games. He's come over from a different country. He's trying to settle into Scottish football. Has he hit the ground or the heights that Celtic were looking for? Probably not. But I don't think you can just write people off. Everybody wrote Scales off, for instance. Mm. You know, they were not looking at him. If Scales had left in the summer, went to Aberdeen, nobody would have blinked an eyelid. Nobody would have bothered. But he's such an important part of the team. I think that Kyogo does need someone up there, whether it's so or if he looks in the transfer market. And sometimes I think we overlook our talent in Scotland, because I think Shankland's as good as they come.
There's been many players in our time that have came from different, you know, regarded smaller teams in Scotland to Celtic and Rangers. I think Shankland's been linked with Rangers in recent times, and I think some of the Rangers thought, well, he's not good enough. He knows the league, and I think in a better team, these guys would get more chances. That's goes without saying. I kind of agree a wee bit with you, Daz, because Jackie Marcus, you know, a lot of Celtic fans were upset when Jackie Marcus left. I don't think the guy was content to, quite rightly sit on the bench, and I think Ange was like, right, okay, if you're not happy, you can go. But he got his chance through default. You know, he got his chance through Kyogo being injured, and he took that brilliantly. You know, he did what Scales is doing just now. O has had limited chance. You know, he's having to feed off 15 minutes, 20 minutes. We've not seen the boy get a run. Is he going to get a run? We don't know, because Kyogo is, you know, so prominent on the front line for Celtic. However, from a Celtic point of view, you do need somebody. You need a backup. You need a backup. Mm. Because if he was to get injured tomorrow, is O the guy? I'm not sure. The other guy, and I apologise to Aberdeen fans, I really like the Majovski striker. I think Celtic and Rangers should be looking at guys like that as well.
Yeah, sorry to fans of every other team. Just going to hoover up all your good players as if it's not hard enough.
John
already
started it with Shankland.
Thank you, John. Good time to call. We'll try our best to get you on next. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here at 0141 951 1025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. How delighted are you two to be in here rather than having to answer your door to trick or treaters this evening?
Door was never.
Well, I was going to say, I'll rephrase that. Have you ever answered your door? Ever?
No.
Like in your life?
No. To anybody? No. With Halloween?
No.
Oh, forget that. We don't want to know that stuff, but.
No.
Never?
No. Mine's just a difficult one. By the time you get to my house, you're knackered. You don't want sweets. You want to sit down.
I just can't imagine you though. Like, you're one of them lights out, pretend you're not in, aren't you?
Yeah, basically.
That's
pathetic.
Yeah, behind. Honestly.
Yeah.
I thought you'd be like friendly man about the community, you know, meeting and greeting. No.
No, not really, Gord. I've never really been into this side of it.
Simon was phoning me all last week, please let me do Tuesday night, please let me. And I thought, why is he so
I'll tell you something.
He either loves Gordon DL, and then it dawned on me today he's trying to avoid the trick or treat.
My kids are at an age, they've outgrown it. We've got young neighbours right enough, so they'll probably be at my door tonight.
Listen to Simon's neighbours if they're listening. He says 9 o'clock tonight he'll be back.
Chat the door, and missus is getting the lights out. Don't fall for that one.
You know how we have literally had it all on this show. People phoning from the sunbed, from the labour ward, from various corners of the globe. I wonder if we could get that as a sort of theme of tonight, where someone's phoning as their trick or treating.
Somebody's phoning from behind the couch with the lights out, listening to the show, because that will be happening.
That's a good challenge. I like that.
I'm not the only one out there.
I like it. Right, 01419511025. Let's bring in Ron, who's on the line. How's it going, Ron?
It's going fine. And I'm one of the ones that's sitting in my car outside the house with the radio off.
Shameful, Ron. Get a bag of monkey nuts out there and go and meet the people. What else are you thinking tonight?
What I'm thinking is what I told the boy I was talking to. There's a lad on earlier on tonight regarding the Celtic and the Green Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's long overdue that they get put in their place and get told the board run the club, not the Green Brigade. They seem to think they can do what they want, when they want, and how much over the years have they cost the club in fines? Well, I think a recent one was £23,000 for pyrotechnics that they were told not to have. I mean, they seem like adolescent wee boys, and they just don't behave themselves. And it's time they get put in their place. There's a waiting list for tickets for Celtic. I know how much they put into the club, benefits and foundations and all the rest. That doesn't justify what they're doing.
It's always struck me as being certainly a complex relationship, Ron, and very much on the outside of it, because I'm kind of glad you mentioned that stuff at the end, because surely there are times when Celtic as a club or Celtic the board will sort of lean into the good things that the Green Brigade does, and obviously the kind of charitable outlook and food banks, and you mentioned that, you know, the Celtic Foundation, some of the kind of memorable stadium tifos and whatever that are probably made into t-shirts and pictures and whatever for the club to sell. So is it, are you very more about the rough rather than the smooth? You think there's more negatives than positives to the full thing?
I do. I think it's a case of just indiscipline. And they're forgetting, in fact, who runs the club. And it's not just a club, it's a business. And a business can't keep getting hit with five-figure fines. And if it continues, they may get told that they can't compete in certain competitions. And that's not good enough.
This is where I'm generally speaking, because I'm not an expert on the inner workings of the Green Brigade, but this is where football clubs need to get it right, because when Ron says, you know, it's a business, and obviously it is, but football clubs aren't businesses like other businesses, are they? Because there is all that emotion, there is all that history, there is all that community aspect, charitable aspect, you know, everything all kind of rolled into one. So whilst fine if there are rules broken and the club feel that they need to try and nip that in the bud, you would understand that. There's surely also got to be an element of kind of being careful what you wish for, or at least making sure you deal with it in the right way.
A bit, I get what Ron's saying. You have to behave when you go into football stadiums. That goes without saying. Everybody wants to go and experience a good experience, and the Green Brigade more often than not bring a good experience to Celtic Park and wherever they go. But you obviously can't just do whatever you want. They have to try and resolve it. I'd imagine there will be spokesmen. I don't know any of the Green Brigade, but I'd imagine there'll be spokesmen from that side.
Yeah, but I think that's the point. That it's unlikely that they, and they can, by the way, more than welcome.
Yeah.
But that's not really the done thing in sort of ultras groups or whatever to phone up radio stations.
Not so much phone us up, but speak to the guys.
Take into consideration as well. Listen, I'm all for atmosphere. I love atmosphere, and as the players, that's the first thing you spoke about, the atmosphere at certain grounds, and Celtic come into that, and that's a big part of the Green Brigade, of course it is. But you've got a football club, the board have a football club that they've got to run right, not just for a Green Brigade, but for the rest of the fans. There's Ron already on, and he's probably one of these fans with a lot of them thinking, hold on a minute, the club run, the board run the football club. And I can understand
complex,
that.
Though, isn't it? I mean, you've got John, the previous caller, had sort of the opposite view. And I think it's really, it is complex. There's a lot going on, because I can't make people believe that this isn't about flying of Palestinian flags, because they will have made their own mind up on that, and that's fine. The club are clear tonight, though, or they're putting out the message that this is not why this has come about, and that this is for issues at pyrotechnics at a Feyenoord game, unsafe behaviour at Fir Park, abuse of match day access before the Kilmarnock game at Celtic Park, unauthorised display at Atletico Madrid, which would maybe tick part of that box, and unsafe behaviour at Easter Road at the weekend, violent and intimidating behaviour towards stewards. So again, you know, without having been there at any of that, I'd like to try. I've got no idea whether that's kind of justified, whether this punishment fits the crime, because I just don't know exactly what the crime would be, but it certainly sounds like quite a list. And is that, how do you see this getting resolved, Ron? Because I'm not sure your notion that you can just take the Green Brigade away and then other fans will just fill the seats, is that going to work?
Well, it'll fill the coffers for the club. It'll lose an awful lot of the atmosphere, because there's no denying they give an atmosphere. But they cannot dictate to the club. And they're like spoilt wee boys, they need to be shown a lesson.
Hmm.
You've just given a list of what they've been up to, which an awful lot of it could be deemed as criminal. And you're talking about a Palestinian flag. They've had a Palestinian flag flying in the Green Brigade corner for as long as I can remember.
Yeah, like I say, look, the club are messaging that
We're talking about football here. We're not talking about politics.
Just can't really separate them, though, Ron, can you? I mean, everyone kind of wants to, or a lot of people want to, but especially a club like Celtic, there'll be loads of times where Celtic will lean into stuff like that, won't there? It's just gone are the days where people say, you know, that's a separate thing. It's just not, is it?
Well, I think it's about time some of them woke up and realised it is a separate thing.
I don't know. I mean, then we go down a whole different route. I don't think politics can be separated from anything. It's just sort of the point, isn't it? So you can't say, I'm looking at you two here and I can sense you're thinking, why are we having this conversation? but, you know, you just, whether it is the Green Brigade or Celtic or anyone else, you can't say, oh, it's brilliant that my club will raise money for food banks or stick up for this cause or stick up for that cause. But then when it's something else or something that you either don't agree with or is something a bit more controversial, you say, ah, keep politics out of football. That's the point I'm trying to make to Ron. You just can't have that both ways. That just doesn't work.
No, it goes hand in hand, and especially at Celtic. Of course it does, Gordon. There's two sides to this. You'll hear people from the Green Brigade talking about what they bring, and obviously they do bring a lot. But I'm a great believer. If you get into someone's house, you've got to abide by the rules. You've got to behave in a certain way. Now, Celtic Football Club, and I think Celtic Football Club run their club very, very well. The board really do. I've got to say that. I've been, every time I've walked inside Celtic Park, I just think they've got it right. Just the way it's, the behaviour, everything it's done through the corridors.
Tough though, isn't it? Because you're not a paying customer, so you've got to try and make sure that you are in touch with your fan base, and you're never going to be able to do it with them all. You need to try and get
but
as
Celtic
close
board
as possible.
Must know. They will know. You will ask any Celtic board, they will say the same as everybody else connected with Celtic about how good the Green Brigade, what they bring on match days, the atmosphere, how they lift the players, how they're a massive part of it. But where they've got to draw a line sometimes is, and you've read some of it out there. We're not at the game, so I don't like to comment on that. But if the Celtic board feel that strongly, and they must feel that strongly, then something has to be done.
Thank you to Ron on the line, 0141 951 1025. If you've got any football points, like players that are good, players that are bad, transfers that might happen, I think Simon and Gordon will even take VAR discussions at this point. Of course it's a phone in. It is up to you. It might just be a nice moment to talk about on-field activities, but you decide. 0141 951 1025. If you give us a call now, we'll try and get you on next.
Win a quarter of £1 million.
And in all the excitement, I almost forgot to tell you about the big money on offer. And it is big money indeed. A quarter of £1 million. Scarily good prize up for grabs. See that? Halloween. Scary. See where I was going with that one. We've teamed up with our stations across the UK to bring you this incredible prize. You'll be screaming the house down if you win it. Yes, all the puns are there. Jim Atkinson could be calling you, changing your life if you enter. And this weekend you could be partying after winning a quarter of £1 million. We guarantee to pay every penny to one winner. And if it's you, the cash will be in your bank straight after the call. Imagine that. Refresh on the online banking. Text yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry on the website, £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, but all the rules for this Bauer Media Audio UK competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday. There's no phrase or amount to remember. You don't need to pick up within five rings. Just answer your phone and the quarter of £1 million is yours. Text yes to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL, both here, both waiting for you to get in touch on 0141 951 1025. Let's bring in Brian, who's in Peterhead. How's it going, Brian?
Not bad at all, not bad at all.
What are you thinking tonight? What have you got
for
us?
I'm worried about Brendan Rodgers and his plan to move on some fringe players.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's a good idea. And according to the papers, there's players I would like to see move on if we can. But the big, big, big problem is, how do you move on contracted players?
That's a very good question. A very good question indeed. If anyone's wondering what Brian is on about, Brendan Rodgers spoke about wanting quality rather than quantity. He says more out than in, referring to January. You know, there'll be players who have been there for 6 months and won't have played. It's no fault of them. The squad's bigger than I would want it to. Players want game time. I think we've got enough development players. I love that. I've done all my life is work with these players, but you need ones that come in and make an immediate impact. Talk about genuine quality. You mentioned squads being, you know, 25, so 22 plus your three goalies sort of thing. I think Celtic are about 10 more than that, thereabouts. So Brian is in favour of that, but how do you do it? And that's a key point.
That's down to the management at Celtic to work that one out, how they can create space there. But I agree that the squad's too big. You know, you talk about depth of squad, but when you're going up over 30, I mean, just the basics of organising training sessions and trying to please everybody, it becomes difficult. And listen, I'm not suggesting there is bad eggs there, but if there's people not playing, you know, sometimes little bits can creep into the environment there. So he wants to obviously reduce his squad. He probably wants to bring in some more quality that will threaten the guys who have got the jersey. I think that, just talking to Daz in the break there, that the team out with Hitati's injury, I think, is regarded as Celtic's strongest 11 at the moment.
The one from the weekend?
Yeah. The one that played the three games before.
That started, though, because that's where a lot of people are sort of then debating, aren't they?
So Hitati would play in that midfield. That's their strongest team. You could maybe argue Abada, who's been a bit of a long-term injury at the moment, you could maybe get into that 11. But out with that, you know, players are coming in for 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Nobody's really stamped their authority other than the boy Scales. He's taking his chance when the centre-backs have been out. So I can understand them wanting to cut the squad, but as it Brian on the call suggested, it's more difficult at times, you know, if guys are sitting there on long-term contracts.
It really depends on the individual, Gordon. You know, as a manager, Brendan Rodgers will sit down. I think he'll be very honest with them, tell them that the future isn't at Celtic Park. Now, there's deals that you can do, i.e. if you can't unload them, then you can get them out and loan, get part of their wages. That saves you a couple of quid as well. But ideally, you'd like to get them moved on. Other players will look at other clubs and maybe do a deal with Celtic and a part of their contract and go and make the money up at another club, whoever may fancy them. Because as a professional footballer, and Simon will tell you, MD will tell you, training Monday to Friday or whatever it may be, it's okay. The biggest highlight is playing a Saturday. And if you're sitting there and you know a manager like Brendan Rodgers ain't going to pick you, you're not going to be involved, you have got to go and say, right, I don't want to end my career when I'm 35 and look back and think of all the football and first team experience that I've missed. I think you've got to go and try and thrash out a deal, get yourself a club and go and get yourself a fresh start. Now, doesn't mean to say because you leave Celtic, your career's finished. We've seen players leaving clubs at Celtic and Rangers or bigger clubs and going on to very, very good careers because they're getting the opportunity to play every week and it builds confidence and it makes them a better player. Sometimes you'll get a player that, look, I don't blame him because at the end of the day he was given the contract. He might just sit there and decide to dig his heels in and say, no, I'm not going to get the money anywhere else. You know, cost of living is very high. I'm on a good wage here. I'm not prepared to drop down. I didn't, you know, the club gave me the contract. You got to honour it. I'm here training every single day. You get players like that. Every club's got them.
Brian, I mean, who in particular do you think has got no chance? Because, you know, the Liam Scales case is such an interesting one. You would have said him in the summer, wouldn't you?
An odd player does well, but you look at, say, Kubiashi, Awata, Yang, Kwon, Telio, Holm. That's just current players that came in 5 minutes ago. McCarthy for years ago. God blimey, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, I mean, Awata's is quite close to the first team, isn't he?
Yeah, Awata's
scored plus.
He scored a great goal at Tynecastle, and you know, he came with a great reputation. I think he was player of the year in the J League the year that he signed for Celtic. Again, he's not had a lot of game time. Is that down to the guys in front? I probably would say yes, you know, because again, at the moment, it's hard to shift. If McGregor's fit, he plays. If O'Reilly is fit, he plays. And if Hitati's fit, they play. It's hard to shift those three if they're all fit, because I think they're the three best midfielders there. So it is what it is at Celtic or big clubs like that. You have to fight your way in and really shine when you get in. But I don't think he's done himself any harm. He's still trying to fight to get himself in that Celtic team.
Brian then mentions Yang and Kwon. I think obviously Yang started some big games already. Not sure Brendan Rodgers would be ready to rip that up yet.
Again, he's 19.
Kwon, on the other hand.
Kwon was one that came in. I watched him. Was it James Forrest testimonial? I thought he found it really hard. You know, whether it was the pressure of playing at the stadium. Again, a young lad that's just came in.
That's what I go back to, Simon. I think that in this country especially, and I do it myself, so I'm not going to blame anybody else. You sit and you see a player for 5 minutes and judge him right away. Yeah.
Listen, that's the thing, right? Because that's totally true. But if you think of where Brendan Rodgers is coming from, if you've got,
that's his job.
No, but if you've got a squad of over 30, what are you meant to do?
30 is too much, right?
Well, do you know what I mean? You're right, but you can't keep them all because you don't want to judge them too quick. Because whilst the number is that size, you're going to need to judge them quick, basically.
Yeah well, Brendan Rodgers probably.
Sorry to interrupt, but just the quote that really alludes to that bit. He says, there's going to be players that have been here 6 months and not played.
Yeah.
So they're just not going to get a chance. So what's the point in that?
Yeah. And when Brian was on the phone, it says Kobe Hachi. I forgot about him.
Well, exactly.
You know, I completely forgot about him. McCarthy's been there, and I think it's well known that
That one's almost beyond debating now, yeah. James McCarthy.
Yeah, so and there'll probably be others that will come off and you'll look and think, oh, I forgot he was even in the building. So Brendan Rodgers, 100%, and any good coach will tell you, 30 is far too many.
Too much.
Yeah, and what you end up doing is you end up putting good experienced guys or whatever it may be over to the under 20, and that upsets that production line as well. Not saying they're bad, but you just put them over
there.
That's
what you said through. You
need to make room.
Their own.
Yeah,
players have found them. Because
there's just too many. How would you give them all a chance?
Yeah.
Brian, who would you earmark as the main player to come and place Rio Hatate throughout this injury?
Well, I think it looks like it's going to be Bernardo. Personally, I would have picked Turnbull, but that's up to Brendan, isn't it?
Well, but you can tell us your take.
I would say Turnbull, personally.
It's going to be an interesting one, that, whether, you know, can somebody, whether it's one of those two or someone else, can somebody nail it and become the regular? Or is it going to take a while? You know, might Bernardo impress a bit and then actually not able to nail it down, and Turnbull gets a shot and Holm gets a shot and Iwata gets a shot and McGregor gets moved.
Yeah. I think it is exactly that. It's to somebody really takes.
Is it Bernardo's?
Well, Bernardo, I thought he did well against Atletico. I don't think Celtic at the weekend, without saying that guy individually, I don't think they were at it. Right from the start, I just thought they weren't as fluent as they have been in games recently. Turnbull, he's done a job for Celtic. When he's scored goals, he's come in, he's did well. I would maybe lean towards Iwata playing because he's defensive, and maybe they push Callum McGregor further forward.
I think the big problem, I'm a Turnbull fan. I think he's got a lot in the locker, the lad. I really do. And he looked like, when Brendan came in at first, he was going to take
goals,
off. He was scoring goal. He put him in that advanced position where O'Reilly's now playing.
Yeah.
If you look at O'Reilly scoring goals for fun, he's claimed that spot. I like Turnbull. I think he's got a lot, but there's a lot of Celtic fans out there sort of still on the fence. Bernardo's done okay since he came in. He can build a case at Iwata, for instance.
It's up for grabs.
Yes, definitely.
It's up for grabs.
Is the difficulty, and injuries happen in football, we're going to get on to Rangers' situation, and ultimately, you need to find someone. But is the issue that when it's Rio Hatate that's out, you're trying to find someone else, another midfielder who can kind of do everything, really? Is that not what separates Rio Hatate from maybe some others in terms of that kind of burst the way he can dribble, eliminate players?
I don't think there's anybody else at the club. O'Reilly's having great form just now. He's a wonderful player. I don't think that there's things that Hatate can do that I don't think the other midfielders can do, in my opinion, when he's on his game.
Yeah.
But that's hard to replace, but it's an opportunity for these three.
Sure.
That's why I suggest, again, would Iwata come in there and play in the deeper role? And we've seen Callum McGregor play further forward before, but it's certainly a position that at the moment it's up for grabs. You've named three there. It's an opportunity for one of them to go and take.
01419511025 is the number you need to call, and in fact the number you need for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. I think Simon might have been the last pundit to lose last week.
Very
I could be wrong.
Move over.
We will find out how he's faring tonight. 01419511025. Call before 7 and you could play Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dale are in the building and they're waiting for you to get in touch. If you're just joining us, the first hour, we had a good few callers on about the decision for Celtic to ban Green Brigade. tickets for forthcoming matches, so you can get your thoughts in on that if you so wish. If you want to move on, talk about on-field matters, you can do that as well. A bit of debate about how and where and when Celtic can trim the squad as per Brendan Rodgers' wishes. Rangers fans, very strong stuff from Philippe Clement today, again on injuries, on fitness issues, on availability. And I wonder what your take on it all is. We'll hear from him soon, so why don't you give us a call right now while we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's bring in Scott, who is in law. How's it going, Scott?
How are you doing, all right?
I'm not bad. How are you, more importantly?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm good.
Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No, I've not.
No, okay. Who would you rather play?
Simon, because my mum was quite rude to him this afternoon when we met him in the superstore.
Oh, you know Scott, yeah.
Do you know what Scott, obviously know what Scott looks like?
Yeah, he was passing himself off as Liam Skills.
Said, you're Simon off the telly. He said, I used to play football,
yeah, that's right.
Is that what you're known as now?
Simon, no, the kid, the Simon, TV Simon, Simon off the TV. Telly.
He said off the
telly. I did used to play the game.
So,
I like that.
Did you have a conversation with Scott?
I did. We were in the Celtic store. My friend was over from Ireland buying some strips, and Scott came up and said hello with his mum.
And was she a bit cheeky?
No, she just said, you're Simon off Celtic TV. And I said, yeah, I used to play as well.
There we go.
That was it. I got a photo.
Here's my career stats.
Do you want to see my Wikipedia?
But exactly.
Right, heads it is Simon, tails it's Gordon DL. And it's the reunion. It's heads Simon, who lost last week, by the way, Scott. Going to take advantage again?
Right. Okay.
Good luck, Scott.
Man, if you want to,
very
Scott.
Good.
Right, let's give Simon some greatest hits radio to listen to, and we'll get the clock ready, Scott. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Good man, your 30 seconds starts now. Which Scottish League One side got their first League One of the season at the weekend?
Pass.
Who did Partick Thistle play in the Championship tonight? What English team did Duncan Ferguson manage prior to arriving at Inverness?
Everton.
Links Park is the home of which SPFL team?
Pass.
In what year did Hibs last win the Scottish Cup?
2018.
Name any of the Belgian sides Philippe Clement has managed?
Club Brugge.
Okay. Simon, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Quite tough tonight. I think you're tough.
He's very off-putting.
I'll tell you, if he doesn't get five...
He's very off-putting.
I'll eat my mask.
Faces and...
Okay.
You'll get
seconds.
Five here, no problem.
30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions.
Go.
Time starts now. Which Scottish League One side got their first win of the season at the weekend?
Pass.
Who did Partick Thistle play in the Championship tonight?
Ayr United.
Who did Duncan Ferguson manage prior to arriving at Inverness?
Forest Green.
Links Park is the home of which SPFL side?
Montrose.
In what year did Hibs win their last Scottish Cup?
2016.
Name any of the Belgian sides Philippe Clement has managed?
Pass.
Who's the Motherwell captain?
Pass.
Kelly.
Name any unbeaten SPFL side from outside the top flight?
Hamilton.
Okay. How sick are you of the question about who's got the unbeaten run outside the top flight? See if I see Hamilton and Falkirk listed on this sheet one more time this season.
No. The first one is incredible.
Why?
Because Edinburgh City's in this every single quiz night.
It's remarkable. Anyway, right. Let's see, Scott. How do you think it went?
I was terrible.
It's not good.
Is that a bluff? Is that a bluff?
No, it's not. The League One side got their first win of the season, Edinburgh City. Partick Thistle do play Ayr tonight, so Simon gets that one. Easy. Duncan Ferguson went to Forest Green before Inverness. Simon again.
Hold on. Where's Scott, is he playing?
He's just a slow start. That's what we'll call it.
His mum's got him in the collar now.
Links Park is the home of Montrose.
Oh yes.
Only Simon.
Yes.
Oh no.
Hibs won the Scottish Cup in 2016. Only Simon got it right.
You're shaking your head.
I was nodding. Oh, this guy's having
you
a
got
minute.
A zero last week as well. However, Scott, Philippe Clement, Bruges again. Has saved you. Well done.
Always get Bruges.
So well done. Pull one back. It wasn't enough. And the unbeaten SPFL sides outside the top flight. Hamilton, Falkirk, Dundee United. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1.
5-1
for Simon. Hard
line. 5-1 on Halloween.
Wait, how are you feeling, Simon?
Scott, his name is.
Scott. I'm calling you Simon. I'm trying to disguise your real name.
Scott, it's a tough one to take that.
You're a wee bit embarrassed, mate.
No, no, that's brilliant. That's payback for my mum being rude to me.
Hey, no, yeah, listen, your mum wasn't rude. Your
we're all friends. Rude. Tell your mum we said hi. That was Scott from Law on 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Happy with that?
Well, that was a good. Yeah. I told you. Hey, what did I say to you?
Exercise the ghosts of last week. It's would you say?
Oh, I like that. The Halloween theme.
Yeah, I told you to get five, mate. I was so confident in you. Scott won. Has Mull no boot him again? He's going to sell him to each other. When he got in Celtic, go
Jackie
yourself.
Was there. She was more excited to see Jackie.
Are you used to that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is he the most popular out of the two? I'm the most popular with me and Wilson.
Yeah,
right.
Former Celtic captain, isn't he?
I would go with that, yeah.
It's a problem. Nah, but Sid was a wee flying winger.
I know, but it's just it's
still
the,
turning out.
Yeah,
it's the prestige that comes with the armband.
Yeah, the captaincy. She definitely lit up when she kind of spotted me, dismissed me as a guy off Celtic TV. And then, oh, there's Jackie Mack.
Aye. That is like when you go with Mark Wilson.
Oh, I'm
no,
the top
it's the opposite.
Are you kidding on?
Excuse me.
Are you kidding on?
When we went to Top
Golf, I knew you were the only thing you can ever throw back at
when
me.
We went to Top Golf, someone asked Mark for a picture and asked you to take it, and you were absolutely devastated.
Well, do you know what? I took the picture of the day.
Of course you did.
By the way, I know what I told the guy. And it's not for a family radio on Halloween, let me tell you.
Do you know what? I cannot
walked away and left him lying there.
I cannot wait to get Mark Wilson's take on, because Simon's too nice to you. I cannot wait to get Mark Wilson's take on that new gilet that you've brought in and have hung up in the studio.
I blagged
he's brought
that.
His own
before
coat,
I tell the story. If we show that, do you think you will we get the guy that gave you it in bother? Do we think?
Not at all.
Right, go and get it.
What do you mean go and get it? What do you want me to do?
Just pick it up and bring it over to me.
What
do you think is important?
What is the?
It is a prop to demonstrate what the audience have long known, that Gordon DL would indeed get a piece at anybody's door, as the phrase goes. Right.
So I recognise.
So it's a very. Where's the camera? Right, this one isn't.
There it is.
Right,
okay.
So it's a very. Why have we gone off me? Right, there we go. You can see the gilet. It's a lovely. Black North Face gilet, but it also has a badge on, Simon, from a car manufacturer. Can you tell me which car manufacturer that is?
No,
you can.
No,
Mercedes.
No, it's a Toyota badge,
Toyota.
Right? So I came into the office today.
Where's he produced this?
I see him wearing a Toyota gilet, right?
You stole that for
right?
Some
garage. He doesn't have a Toyota, right? So I said, why are you wearing a Toyota gilet? And he says, it's not, it's North Face. I said, yeah, but that's a Toyota badge, which he was unaware of. So he's been in a car showroom. The salesman was wearing this.
No, the general manager was.
And
wearing.
He said, "I like that. Can I have one of them?" And the guy's got to
give buy a car.
Can it be a gilet?
The boy, right? I've got to say,
but you now look like a car salesman.
No, I do not.
It's got a Toyota badge, literally, on the front.
But people aren't going to recognise that and go, "Oh, they'll look at the North Face."
Are you joking?
Look
it's an instantly recognisable symbol.
That's a fair quid.
I can believe it, and that's why I'm astonished the guy gave you.
The guy standing there, right, looking
what
great.
What were you doing in the car?
I was in doing a bit of business, right?
Right, okay.
And he was a bit chubby, right? And I thought, he looks good in that. So I said to him, "I love you love your gilet. I play a lot of golf. Any chance of getting one of him?" He says, "What about a car?" I says, "I'm not really interested in a car. I'm more interested in the gilet," right? 5 minutes later, bang, there you go.
That's nothing to be proud of, seriously.
I thought it was great.
Why are you wearing a... Oh, honestly, right, move on.
What, are you telling me you wouldn't... That's a couple of quid's worth.
I know that, but
right.
It's the shame of going into a car garage and asking for a piece of uniform to wear. Would you get into Asda and ask for the green polo shirt?
I tried
and
once.
Stick it on?
I tried once, but...
It's probably not even green anymore, is it?
No, I get through it. Shy, you're happy with that, mate?
Listen, it's
North
Face.
You're walking out with a wee free.
I was.
It's cold today, to be fair.
Exactly.
I was just passing.
I walked in. I seen him in the car. I thought that looks nice. Excuse me, mate.
Anyway, right. Okay, move on. let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement, shall we? Because Rangers injury situation, we could do a show on this every week, it feels. Nico Raskin's the latest. Here's what the manager had to say on that.
That's a difficult thing for the moment. It's quite a puzzle. It's the biggest puzzle that I ever saw, to be honest, with all the injuries and players falling out. Until now, we started with a lot of players who are not available. Some players falling out also last couple of weeks. I'm not a coach who's going to turn around in a problem. If there's a problem, it's my job to find solutions. And I'm focused on that. And sometimes the solutions can be also something that is better than you thought of. Sometimes also that you find a solution with a player that you didn't expect before, and that he blossoms because he gets a chance that normally you would not get. So I'm focused totally on the fit players.
The frequency at which Philippe Clement speaks about this and the depth he goes into, Gordon, has kind of, it tells you that this is not that usual thing about manager comes into a new club and says, oh, I want to get them fitter. I mean, we've just heard that a million times. But he's big on that. He's big on the actual injury issues they've got. It sounds like whatever whole host of reasons, he's not liking what he's seeing. Like I said, whether that's actual fitness in terms of can they run more, or whether it's injury prevention, injury rehabilitation, he's not happy with what he's witnessed, clearly.
No, I think his problem is he walked into an injury list. Then he started seeing one or two, like Cantwell coming back into the frame. And unfortunately, he's starting to lose other ones now. He sounds to me like a guy that when he gets his chance, he's got to try and readdress probably the structure of how Rangers train, whether it be time, whether it be different intensity. It just depends on how he sees it, because he feels that he has highlighted the fitness. I'm not too sure if I'm going to be overboard with that one, because I did say that at the weekend their Rangers went for 90 plus minutes and eventually got the goal.
Yeah, but it's
the injuries, I think, that he's more concerned how they're picking up.
But he'll be looking at it differently. Just because you score at the end doesn't mean that all your fitness concerns are, you know, you can score goals. One of them is a penalty.
He was talking about more robust and muscular stuff. Is that...
Well, he must look at the sports science department then. He must be sitting side. Down with guys just now inside that club, and they must be fearing for their job.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
If that's what you're going to do, you've got to look at the past people that was in there. If you're not happy with that, you've looked at the full structure of the club and thought, I don't think these players have trained to the capacity that I would have wanted them to train. Mm. Then you've got to sit down with the department and have it out with them.
Yeah. You get any thoughts on that, Rangers fans? 01419511025. Darren's on the line. How are you, Darren?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad. What's on your mind as a Rangers fan tonight?
After watching the game at the weekend against Hearts, I just thought that the squad really needed that kind of big moment at the end of the game to hear the roar for the fans, and I think the fans also needed that moment just as much, to be honest, to have that kind of belief that the squad can. I mean, after the first 89 minutes, it was looking pretty bleak, to be honest, but to kind of steal it at the death was a kind of big turnaround, and hopefully it can be the start of some positivity in the coming weeks.
Do you think it is that then, Darren? You think that was, you know, a sign of good things to come rather than a worrying performance that you managed to get away with in the end? Because obviously these things are always kind of interpreted both ways, depending on numerous things. Sometimes your personality, whether you're an optimist or not, comes into it. But you confident it's the former?
I'm pretty confident. I don't want to get too carried away. Obviously, there's still a long way to go in terms of getting players back for injury, and obviously the new injuries that are popping up left and right is kind of a bit of concern as well. But I've not heard a roar like that at Ibrox since, I think, the run to the final of the Europa League game. To see the passion and the player celebrations and stuff as well kind of filled me a bit more optimistic for the future. But I mean, for the kind of 80 odd minutes leading up to that, I was kind of scrolling through my phone and had kind of lost interest and thought it's another missed opportunity to kind of close the gap. But like you say, it could be papering over the cracks, but I'm hoping that it's a it's a kind of change of fortunes mm-hmm. for the season going forward.
What do you think, Gordon?
I'm going down the road of I think this manager's. I'll take them to the January summer window, and then I think there'll be massive changes. I thought that, you know, you've got to keep going. They certainly did that against Hearts at the weekend. Haring makes a real rash decision, gives that penalty kick away.
So was that the right decision for you, incidentally? I don't know if I've got the energy for another argument on it like last night, but just curious.
I think it was. I can hear the arguments from the Hearts camp, of course I can. But I think it was apparent. I thought it was a really silly decision to make, especially when Rangers were huffing and puffing. But it gave them such a lift. But I think that looking at Rangers just now, he will certainly get a tune out of these players. But I think in his own mind, he'll be looking for to freshen the full club up once he gets the opportunity. No doubt in that for me.
A lot of the players have just been signed, though. I wonder how easy it will be. Simon, what just quickly, penalty for you? I know these things
sometimes rumble on. I think you can probably accuse the Hearts player of a bit lazy defending. You know, it doesn't go in.
And now when you know eyes are on you.
With VAR.
Yeah.
With VAR, they're going to pick that up. And as Gordon says, with Rangers kind of huffing and puffing and not looking as if they could find a way back in, it suddenly gave them the opportunity. And many times have we seen it before, suddenly there's 9 minutes on the injury. On the board, and everybody gets a lift. And as Darren's alluding to there, they'll have seen Celtic dropping points the day before. All of a sudden, the game's turned on its head, and wins like that are almost more special than a kind of run of the mill win, if you know what I mean. And that's where the reactions came from with the likes of Darren and the Rangers supporters, because it's right at the depth, at the death. Sorry, they think, or it looks as if Celtic are going to extend the lead with a draw the day before, and all of a sudden they turned the result round on its head.
Darren, what do you think of this injury scenario? You've got, you know, Clement describing it as, you know, one of the biggest puzzles he's ever seen. He clearly feels very strongly about all this stuff. Clearly, what do you think?
I mean, it's as worrying as it is. I don't think, the manager had said, that it's not something that you can really change with, or not change rather,
quickly.
Kind of fix with 3 days coming up, every 3 days, so hopefully we can get back to something. But we're asking out. I'd like to see maybe Cifuentes coming in, if anyone can find him, because I can't mind the last time I seen the boy. But other than that, maybe Ross McCausland and Danilo to start tomorrow night would be kind of refreshing for the fans as well, to maybe even give Dessers and Lammers a bit of respite for the spotlight for a bit.
That's a good point. We've become conditioned into just instantly only almost talking about Dessers and Lammers when we talk about summer signings who've not performed well yet. Why is José Cifuentes
not getting it because he's out of sight, out of mind. I think there is a wee bit of that
high
as well.
Hopes for him as well, wasn't there?
There was, that, you know, they were talking and raving about the guy after his first performance or two. He's kind of just went right out the picture. I think it's easier maybe to criticise Dessers and Lammers because they're offering themselves week in, week out. They're getting opportunity week in, week out. But yeah, as you say, out of sight, out of mind. That he was one that was tipped heavily to be a success.
I'm a bit surprised. I thought he'd have kicked on. I thought he was going to be one of those successes. Early doors, the fans really took to him. I think everybody was looking forward to what he was really going to bring in that midfield when everybody was fit. But he's disappeared. Sometimes a new manager will come in and they'll assess players over the first couple of weeks and they'll start looking at the pecking order, and he seems to have dropped down that. But I'm sure now with injuries and, you know, the Rangers manager talking about what's happening with the fitness side of it as well, there will be opportunities. So it's up to him to grab them and keep his cell in the Rangers manager's plans.
I'm fascinated by the actual fitness bit as well as the injury prevention, because you always see, we've seen it before, managers will come in and say, yeah, they're not as fit as I would like them to be. That immediately feels like a dig at the previous management team. But then they'll pick their words quite carefully and say, oh no, that's not necessarily what I mean.
I think it's more not directed at the medical side and like a slant on them. I think maybe he just wants to do things differently.
Yeah, but I think there was a question today asked about, you know, are the players, what was the wording of it, something basically, are they as fit as you would like them to be, or are they conditioned to the level you would want them to be? And he just went, next question.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, that's a yes, but without going into a big, a piece of criticism. Yeah, about the previous regime, surely.
Yeah, I think he's one of his going forward is going to be changing the training regime for me. I think he'll be changing it big time in there. But you've got to be careful. Was it Postecoglou that came in at first and there was a lot of hamstring injuries with Celtic and everybody started concerned themselves with that. But Postecoglou believed in and look at the success he ended up with.
Thank you, Darren. Matondo's on Twitter. He says Cifuentes got injured during the international break when Clement came in. And Alan says he's got loads of Asda polo shirts if you prefer long or short sleeve.
I'll go long sleeve.
Nice one. Lanark Golf Course, first tee tomorrow morning. Has that on the back of his golf shirt. Right, we'll get these to a full-time teaser next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here on 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get your calls into us. It's that time of the night where we give you a full-time teaser question.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Right, let's do something a bit different on the full-time teaser. Just because it's Halloween, right? I won't give you the question as such where you have to come up with the answers. What you do have to do is, can you name me a Halloween 11, right? So whatever you want, add your creative flair to this. Some footballers with Halloween pun names. See if you can come up with an 11. I'll be even more impressed. See if you can go like in a even a sensible formation. Like formation with players in the right place. But I think I might be asking too much of you. But let's see if we can come up with some sort of Halloween. We never really do this on this show.
I go first.
We start at the back.
I think you should save your. You've got a couple of crackers.
Oh, I've done. I forgot them.
Can I start? With a goalkeeper.
Yeah, let's start the back. We'll build.
Right, okay. We'll go with Jonathan Gould.
And you've played with him as well. That is magnificent. Jonathan Gould. Okay, right. What we got?
At the back.
Ah, just whatever. I don't really care. Just give me
save,
one.
Save your
I don't know if it's Boo Baldy.
Okay, right. Boo. I'll take that. I'll accept that.
You accept that?
Are we going Bo Boo or Boo Bo? Does it matter?
Boo, anyway at all.
Boo, Bo, Baldy.
Boo.
Okay. Not great, right. But I'll take it. I'll accept it.
Okay. And I'm going to.
It's passable.
I'm going to give you.
Hold on a minute. You're stealing mine. No. That is mine.
I get the surname and then you.
Yeah. Right. Just give us it.
Gavin Skelton.
Okay. I like that. Gavin Skelton.
Played with Gretna.
Fame. Yeah. You're not bad at this, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, you can tweet us. Why not tweet us your suggestions? Because. If you know these two like I do, I don't think we're going to get an 11 here.
No.
Just a hunch. So why not help them out on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Give us the one that you said earlier during the break that was absolutely terrible, rotten. Like, no way this is...
Are you
is it that one?
Right, I'll tell you what.
I quite like this one.
Did you get?
I think it's so bad. Because I didn't even know who you were talking about. Right, say the Halloween name. And see if people can even guess who you're referring to.
Stephen Graveyard.
Who is that meant to be?
Stephen Gerrard.
That is horrendous. Absolutely no way are we giving you Stephen
Graveyard. What about my other one? What about Dungeon Ferguson?
Okay.
Yeah, give me that one.
Yeah, don't mind that. That'll do. I mean, it's not great either, but it'll do.
Oh, Stevie Graveyard. Brilliant.
Someone's tweeted in, and I'll give them a shout out in a minute once I remember who it was. Your pal, you were just talking about him earlier. I don't know if we can have this though. I think this is good. Jackie Magna Paranormal. Come on. I'm not sure.
That's a reach. That is a reach.
Because it's not even
what?
Jackie Magna Paranormal. No. Surely not.
No. Can't be a
that. Is that tenuous?
No, we're not having that.
Anyway.
Was that the boy get beaten?
It's too difficult to say for a start.
Yeah, right. Anyway, even just a bit of fun towards the end of the show. Let's bring in Andrew, who has some thoughts, I believe, on the St Johnstone managerial search. Andrew, is that right?
Aye, that's correct.
What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, the news earlier on about David Martindale, I think that's actually refreshing to see a club like St Johnson going after that sort of calibre of manager rather than looking inwards, which we've seen a lot of the Scottish Premiership teams doing over the last few years. And to be honest, I think that the clubs promoting from within have generally got it wrong. It's been the cheap option. It's been guys who are not experienced for our top level. And my personal belief is that the Scottish Premiership is no place for a rookie. It needs to be an experienced person. And I think St Johnson certainly need that. And my thoughts was Dick Campbell or Ian McCall.
Well, certainly experienced, my goodness, in Dick Campbell. I'm interested in Andrew's general point because it was very fashionable there. Stephen A. Smith, Barry Robson, Stuart Kettlewell working out at the moment, I think you would say. He had also been a manager before, though, so I don't know if that falls into that same kind of rookie promotion from within. I think Naismith and Robson, jury's still out. Would that be fair?
100%. I think both just now would probably be under. What am I cursing? I said this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm really concerned that the amount of sackings now in the Premier League is just going up and up every year.
So you don't think it was right to get rid of Stephen McLean?
I don't think it was right to appoint Stephen McLean.
Well, that's different though, isn't it?
And as in, I'm not being disrespectful to Stephen Naismith or Barry Robson. I don't think they were the right appointments just now. I think you've got to build that up.
I think Robson's a hard one because his interim period was good and it was long as well. They gave it ages, you know, didn't dive in. Because St Johnson, it's been 12 years, I mentioned this last night.
Well, Callum Davidson was,
that's what I'm saying, it's 12 years because when when they appointed Steve Lomas, Tommy Wright was on his staff,
that's right.
And Callum Davidson was on his staff, and Stephen McLean was on his staff. So it's surely the end of St Johnson appointing from within. And is it a sign that, generally speaking, clubs will kind of stop doing that? I'm not sure they do it just because St Johnson have stopped, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
is that fad passing?
Do you know something? The position St Johnston are in, I totally agree with their search now. I think they need a guy that knows the leagues. I think they need a bit of experience. I think they need somebody to get in and have a quick fix. They're in real trouble. Bottom of the league, they can hardly score a goal. They're losing goals for fun. They need a real leader in there that's going to turn things about, a personality, a bit of character. Someone's got to bring the club together for me. It's a massive job, St Johnson. It's got to be a very difficult job. But you can do that. You can lift it. I don't think it's a job for a rookie. I really don't. And it'll be interesting. Now, David Martindale, I keep saying, there's nobody better personality for me in the Scottish. Everybody loves David Martindale. Of course we do, the way he's went about his business. But I don't know where it is, right? I could be wrong. He's just suited to Livingston. And I don't think he's going to go to a St Johnston. I think David Martindale will just be at Livingston as long as David Martindale can.
Do you think he would even want this?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think he's so...
No, but forget that. Is St Johnston a more attractive proposition? Because everybody knows it's a unique situation where he runs all aspects of the club. He's real autonomy there and builds the gym and does the DIY around the place, right? Yeah. But if you're the Livingston manager, where they are with that squad, are you leaving that for St Johnston?
No, I wouldn't.
I think it's a more secure role for him just now. He's established himself at Livingston, and unless he messes up big still, you don't see him losing his job. Where he could go to St Johnson and not turn it around, find themselves adrift and be out of a job before.
He could find himself in the Championship next year.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Andrew, what do you think about that? The specific approach for David Martindale, the fact that Livy have rejected it?
I think it's strong on Livingston's part to reject it, because it would be quite easy for them to accept any sort of financial reward for taking what I think is a very good manager away. I'm a Rangers man. I wasn't against Martindale being looked at for the Rangers job. I'd really rate him. And you were talking about Naismith and Robson. I think the Edinburgh clubs and Aberdeen, I think they've made a mistake by maybe not looking at them as well. I think those three clubs are some of Scotland's finest clubs, and I think they should be aiming to give the old firm a bloody nose now and again. But we're not seeing that with rookie managers. And we're not, like, the new head manager was Nick Montgomery. He obviously got beat 4-0 at Ibrox. But he quickly learned his lesson and he turned it around against Celtic a week later. I don't believe that Naismith or Robson can do that. We've seen Robson with his mistakes at the PAOK game. I think that an experienced manager wouldn't have done that. He'd have better game management. Do you sort of see where I'm going along the lines of this? I think that...
The only thing I will, in the defence of the manager like Barry and stuff like that, you've got to be in it to learn from it, right? And unfortunately, making those mistakes and they're highlighted about the substitutions and stuff like that in the European campaign. He goes to Kilmarnock, he admits it himself that I should have freshened things up, yeah. Right? I should have freshened. So the one thing I do like about Barry, and Stephen Naismith's the same, because he was not that far away from getting a terrific result at Ibrox, I've got to say, they will be learning in the situation as the weeks go on.
Barry, the same in the European game that is it Andrew's talking about. Mm. You know, 2-1 up and should have the penalty.
Yeah, yeah. So it's fine lines, but where Aberdeen and Hearts see themselves as clubs, I don't think these guys will get the minute they go through a bad run, it's going to get thrown up at them. Rookie managers, out their depth, shouldn't be in the job. Of course it is, right? That's what happens. I think Barry and Stephen Naismith are probably going to be very good managers. I just think they're in difficult situations just now.
Thank you to Andrew on the line. If you two can't come up with this Halloween 11, the listeners have absolutely
nailed it.
They've got you. I mean,
right, let's hear some of them.
Have they got a big dungeon?
Even Hugh Keevans is tweeting in. He's
Hugh Keevans got one.
And Willie, I'm going to combine Hughes and William Wilson's. So, I mean, I can't take part. I'm not a footballer. William says Gordon dunking for apples. See that? Dunking. Mm. But Hugh went better, I think. Duke.
Oh, well
Duke
done,
for
Hugh.
Apples. Duke
yeah,
for apples.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well done, Hugh. Gaz says Nikita Helovic. Not that. Scotty goes Willow Blood.
Willow Blood, yeah.
Casper Schmeichel.
Ghost, yeah.
You like it?
Yep.
Got that right out of the heart there. Sid.
This is your game, isn't it? Oh, forget the questions.
I'm not even listening to the rest of the show.
Do you know what's funny is apparently someone's found an article on Google. If you Google it, and it's just all the ones that he's saying.
No, don't start that. As somebody came with Casper Schmeichel. Mm-hmm.
Matondo says Richard Goff.
Yeah, I like that.
Willow Blood again. Gaz Hunter, Davy Werewolf.
I can't get that.
Why?
Werewolf.
Charlie it's Adams.
Bit on your Stevie Gravy.
Charlie Adams family.
Of Adams family. Yeah.
Shea Adams family. Charlie Adams family.
Yeah.
Well, you need to decide which ones you're putting in your team. We'll try and come up with an 11.
We'll take Davy Werewolf.
I think we've got a squad of 32 now, and Jason is coming up next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL are here. They're trying to come up with their Halloween 11. We're just a bit of a change to the usual full-time teaser format tonight. These two are all right at it. The listeners are obviously excellent, much better. Are you going to chew that drumstick lolly any louder into that mic?
Oh, it's good that though.
Seriously.
I had to tell a joke for that. I'm
what
going to make
an
the
irresponsible
best
choice during the ad break of a live radio
can't
show.
Be a drumstick.
Look, everybody in here, look, I need a wee hand.
Ryan Clark Kent has gone for Ryan Jack O' Lantern.
Nah.
What do you mean? No, that's perfect.
Okay, I like that.
I think extra points for players, you know, who are playing here at the moment. Stephen sent in Graham Scary. Graham Carey.
I'll give him that.
Yep.
Right, okay.
He's your fullback.
Right, what else are you giving me?
You get another cracker?
No, I've run out, actually.
Are you seriously struggling after all those ones we gave you?
Well, I think we've got a team.
You got an 11. There's some absolutely terrible shouts coming in as well.
Like
I must
what?
Say.
Oust them.
An anonymous caller said Pierre Van Hooydonk.
Nah.
Awful.
Yeah, you just shut the door in their face, wouldn't you? Beat it.
Colin Frankenstein.
Colin Frankenstein?
Colin Steen.
Yeah.
Frank.
I like that.
You just didn't get that.
No, I didn't.
Oh my words. John and Paisley sent that one in.
I like that.
Right, put him in. I'll leave you to it.
Up front.
Jason is a St Mirren fan on the line. I've been hoping we'd get a St Mirren fan, Jason, because you're absolutely flying, aren't you?
Certainly, I'm grieving, Gordon and Simon. That was kind of the question I wanted to put to yourselves in the panel, is how high can St Mirren go? You know, what is the limit for us? You're right in saying that we're absolutely flying just now, and I'm loving the roller coaster from last season getting top six, and people laughing at us a couple of seasons ago when Tony Fitzpatrick said we were a top six side. I remember people were picking us for relegation at the time. So, loving the rollercoaster that we're on, not being naive enough to say it's going to last forever and forever more, and St Mirren will now be a powerhouse. But what is the limit for a St Mirren? Are we looking at European football next season? Are we looking at Europa Conference League coming to Paisley? Are we looking at staying in that third place all season? You know, how far do you think it could go?
On recent forms and form and results, and looking, see, I would probably say definitely they'll be top six. I don't think there's any doubt. But if you're going to aim high and you're looking what's below you, I'm not seeing any team that's really exciting me. Mm. You know, I look at Hearts, I look at Aberdeen, the big budget ones, look at Hibs. I'm not looking at them thinking they're going to come with a great run and you know, oust St Mirren out that third place. I think it'll be down to, you know, St Mirren will probably go with a smaller squad than most of these clubs, so it'll be down to a wee bit of luck keeping their key players fit. The manager's doing a terrific job there. He certainly is, playing good football, scoring goals. I don't see why you're not aiming for that top three, top four spot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I watched the game at the weekend, and they were everything that St Johnson aren't. You know, a hard working team, confident, looking as if they're working for each other, scoring goals, four goals at the weekend. And Stevie Robinson's really got them believing in themselves, and they're sitting there, you know, why not? Why not aim high? You know, as Daz says, I don't see anything else there. Yes, you'll be looking at teams like Hibs, Hearts, Aberdeen to try and find a bit of form and come back, but St Mirren have showed that they can hold their own. They've started this season brilliantly. I think they've got, is it 19 points? Something like that. Why not? You know, build on the top six for last year and look at Europe. And I was actually, and I have to apologise to Jason, because I was one that tipped them to get down last year.
Oh my word.
Sorry, Jason.
Jason, how much of your thought process does come into assessing how good St Mirren have been? But also, as Gordon says, you know, are you fearing Hearts and Aberdeen at the moment, and maybe even Hibs as well? And then, you know, are you fearing them all? And are they all likely to finish above you? How confident are you can at least hold off one or two of them?
I think if you ask me right now, the closest that can maybe give us a bit of a game would be Hibs. They proved that in the League Cup quarter final when Nick Montgomery came in. It was a cracking game at Easter Road. If I'm honest, obviously I heard the previous caller speaking about managerials there. Hearts and Aberdeen, for me, I can't see it this season, if I'm honest. And that's no disrespect to Hearts and Aberdeen. And I just think at the places they're at, where St Mirren are at just now, I think it's two totally different parallels. St Mirren are on the up. Stephen Robson's got us playing great football. You know, we're 3 points behind Rangers with a game in hand. I'm not saying we're going to split the old firm. You know, I'd love it if we did, but I'm not going to be that daft. We've got a tough game tomorrow night against Celtic, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great game. And as a St Mirren fan, you're going, why not? We've proved the last season or two that we can be a bit of a thorn on Celtic side. See, if we come away with a point or 3 points, I would be over the moon as to where we would currently be. But as opposed to looking over the shoulder, the only person I could really see just now would be a Hibs. Dundee are flying, but I can't see that lasting at the moment. And maybe Kilmarnock as well. But I think St Mirren are in a great place. And I'm loving the rollercoaster while we're on it, because my fear will be Stephen Robinson gets eyed up for a bigger job because of the job he's doing with us. And when he leaves, where does that leave St Mirren?
Well, as you say, you feel Hibs are maybe one that could upset St Mirren. They are underway against Ross County. It's goalless in the very early stages. Some interesting team news. Potentially more interesting if it's not an injury, but he's on the bench, David Marshall. Out the team.
I'm not surprised with that.
Jojo Wallacott, first league start tonight. I guess maybe you find out in time. Does Marshall come back in at the weekend? Is it a one-off? Is it the high frequency of the games? The short rest period in between, or is this the dropping of the goalie?
I think that's down to form. I've not been
kicking got him in trouble at the weekend, but then he got himself out of it with some smart stops.
But from the start of the season, watching Hibs, he's never looked the same. Now David Marshall's been a terrific goalkeeper, and there's no reason why he can't come back to that sort of form. I think he's just dipped in form, Gordon. And I think the new manager, obviously looking at it, has decided to give, especially at home tonight against Ross County, giving someone a new opportunity to go and say, right, okay, you've waited your chance, you've worked hard in training, I've been impressed with what I've seen, go and grasp that opportunity. And I think if the lad goes out and has a good game tonight, I think he'll be in nets at the weekend.
In nets?
Mm-hmm. In nets, yeah.
Wow. Not sure how I feel about that phrase, quite frankly. But anyway, thanks to Jason. Keep in touch, Jason. We'll see how long this roller coaster lasts.
Cheers, sir. Will do, boys. Thanks so much.
That was Jason and Anstruther, lovely part of the world. Still goalless Hibs, Ross County. Not the only big game tonight, far from it. We touched on the championship action during Beat the Pundit. Scotland's women up against Netherlands at Hampden as well. It's the second part of that double header. They lost 4-0 over Nijmegen on Friday. They already lost to England and drew with Belgium in this group, so really need a win to get things going. Pedro Martinez Losa has made some interesting changes as well. Sandy McKeever given a debut in goal, only just called up. She's actually been capped by England before once and is now a Scotland cap as well, so interesting to see that change in goal. And it's still goalless in that one, I think, early on as well. Terrible injuries for Scotland women's national team. Many of the big hitters out, a few with ACL injuries. Erin Cuthbert boosting things by coming back into the team this evening. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that one. You are getting a shout out for your team, Gordon D. Hill.
Don't get
that. You don't get it. There's not a lot to get.
Gordon
D. Hill.
Hell.
Oh, hell.
No, I quite like that from Andy C. on Twitter. Or Goblin D. Hill. I think we better move on.
I prefer that.
Very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's move on.
I'm sticking that in.
Are you? Goblin D. Hill.
I'm worried. This could be the last ever played on Super Scoreboard. Ryan Clark Kent's back on. Remember Matt Polster? Played with Rangers. Matt Polstergeist.
Like it. I'll give him that. Like, put him in it right back.
Quite like that. You got any more for me? I think we've got a squad of 47 now.
I know. Yeah. We've got more squad there than Celtic.
Any that you really like? What's your favourite?
Stevie Graveyard.
It's got to be.
That was so bad. That's so bad, right? I didn't know if you. I thought
I didn't know what player he was talking about.
No, you did. You did right away.
Honestly, I thought
Stevie Gray or something.
I thought it was Stephen Craigan. That's how bad it was.
Oh dear.
Right, well, give me your team. Full team. Go for it.
God. Johnny Gould.
Mm-hmm. What about Casper?
Nah, Gould's better.
No, Gould's okay, better. Okay. Graham Skerry.
Okay.
Boo Boo Baldy.
I'm happy with that.
Gav Skeleton.
Right.
You're trying to make this good. Right,
you go.
No, I can't see it.
Big Dungeon Ferguson.
Oh, Dungeon. Right. Aye.
Get the Goblin. Colin Frankenstein and Goblin DL up top. And in the 10 row, I'm going to stick Stevie Graveyard.
No, he's not.
Yes.
What about Duke? Duke's
in
there.
He's
on
Hugh
Keevans.
Joe's just sent Jonathan Gould.
Come on, Joe.
Anyway, there we go. Thanks to the guys. Back tomorrow. What a night it's going to be, because we've got nearly a full fixture card in the Scottish Premiership. Really looking forward to that. It is Marvin Bartley and Charlie Mulgrew in the studio as well, so look forward to seeing what those guys have on their minds. And you can join in from 6 on the phones, on Twitter, or just listen quietly at home. Charlie Mulgrew, says the producer. I'm not sure at all. Those Halloween puns, you'll be delighted to know, will be in the bin, won't be repeated tomorrow, but you can join us from 6. And in the meantime, you'd be as well just staying right there, because Callum Gallagher is up next.